You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Don't be afraid to look in your table of contents. It's okay. It's in the Old Testament. It's on the other side of, to the right of Jeremiah and Isaiah and all that kind of stuff. So if you get there, you're getting close. Lamentations chapter 3. We've been in a series called Real Life, Real People. We've looked at marriage. We've looked at parenting. We've looked at money. Last week we looked at stress. And this week we're looking at depression. Looking at depression. And I want to give you a couple recommendations as I've been doing before we jump into everything. Two books I want to recommend to you. One is called Shattered Dreams by Larry Crabb. Shattered Dreams by Larry Crabb. And then also Get Out of That Pit by Beth Moore. So one of these two would maybe be a blessing to you. You could look through and to be able to have. Secondly, I want to recommend to you, we've got on our website a video that we're going to put up of a church member of ours that struggled with anxiety and different things like that. And so I want you to be able to go there to the website, and also we'll try to put it on the e-newsletter so you can watch that video. It's about 7 minutes of a church member that God's really brought him through some great things to be able to see. Thirdly and finally in my recommendation things, as we talk about depression, I don't want to forget this. I watched just recently and watched a couple times, a guy named Tommy Nelson is a pastor in Denton Bible Church that suffered from depression, and he did at Dallas Theological Seminary a chapel service on depression. It is wonderful, and I would encourage you to just Google Tommy Nelson, DTS Chapel, depression, and then you can be able to pass that on to a friend and see what, you know, God could use that. So for the next 30, 35 minutes, we're going to look at depression. Aren't you excited and encouraged? Hopefully, I won't make you depressed if you're not, and hopefully, I'll help you if you're depressed, okay? That's my goal. We talked about last week that stress, if stress is not taken care of, stress will bring depression. That's where it heads. Stress heads to depression. And if we don't take care of our stress, we're all stressed, but if we don't take care of it, then we're going to end up in a place of depression. And I told you that after I preached it on Sunday about stress, I said, look out on Monday, because on Monday, something's going to happen, and you're going to have some great stress in your life. Well, last week, I had the opportunity to go to Toronto to be on, that's thunder. All right. It means I got 10 more minutes on my sermon, because you can't get to the cars anyway. So last week, I went traveling to Toronto. My family went with me. We were going to go up to Buffalo, then go to Niagara Falls, then go to Toronto, and I was going to be on two TV shows in Canada about my new book, I Am Changes Who I Am. So we were really excited about it. We got on the plane in Houston. We flew from Houston to Washington, D.C. We were going to get on a plane from Washington, D.C. to Buffalo, New York. We got off the plane Monday morning, Washington, D.C., and something had changed, and our flight had been canceled. The crew had not shown up, so that canceled the flight, and they rerouted us so that we would leave Washington, D.C. It's Monday morning. We would leave Washington, D.C. Friday. So we'd be in the terminal for 5 days is what we would be, okay? Tom Hanks movie on that, but we didn't want to live it. So we got that. So it Friday, we're going to be in Washington, D.C. still. So I get on my phone because the customer service line is from here to Buffalo, New York. I get on there, and 2.5 hours later, I want you to know your pastor was nice and friendly for the first hour. He was firm and frustrated for the second hour. And he was very wanting to beat somebody up for the last 30 minutes. So finally, we got rerouted onto a plane. Instead of arriving at 1:30 and getting to our hotel at Niagara Falls to be able to be there at the falls that afternoon, we arrived at our hotel at 2 a.m. Tuesday morning. It took 21 hours to get from our house to the hotel. 21 hours. We could have gone to London and back 2 or 3 times. So 21 hours, and I realized this, airlines don't care, okay? They don't care. But what happened is the stress in my life went to the, crazy zone. It was stressful, and about 2 hours in, my wife said, remember your message yesterday? And I went, oh, yeah. So maybe the lady cared, maybe she didn't. Either way, it was 2.5 hours later, and that was the deal. So the stress that happens in our lives, if we don't handle it well, if we don't keep it well, it will lead us to depression. And we all have stress in our lives, so we've got to take a wake-up call and understand what this is. There's great dilemmas with depression because we live in a society where stress is lifted up and it's a badge of honor. And we stress about a lot of things and it's a badge of honor, and then we end up in depression. It's very interesting what God's doing even in our city. There's churches, and churches in our city have been talking about depression. Dr. Young at Second, Ben Young at Second Baptist both did a great message on depression. I didn't know that they were going to do that message. They didn't know that I was going to do this message. What is the Spirit saying to the churches in Houston? Could God have a word for us of prevention, of help? It's estimated 121 million people worldwide suffer from depression. Nearly twice as many American women as men are affected by depression. 50% of women experienced a mild depression following childbirth. Approximately 18.8 million American adults are experiencing depression. Famous people, because you think, well, if I just had something else, then I wouldn't be depressed. No, listen to what all these people have. Heath Ledger was depressed. Owen Wilson, depressed. Catherine Zeta-Jones, Brooke Shields, Princess Di, John Bon Jovi, Winston Churchill, John Adams, great politicians and men of history, rock stars, comedians, and beautiful women all suffering from depression. There's a lot of things that happen with this. So let's define this real well so we'll know what we're talking about. I've been studying about this. I met with our counseling director, Adam Mason, our counseling center, talking about this. What does this mean, depression? All of us feel blue. Every one of us feel blue. Every one of us feel down. There might be a streak of a week or a few days that you're like, I just don't feel like myself. Depression, when it really becomes a thing of you are depressed, is when for 30 days, is the line they like to draw, for 30 days the fog hasn't lifted. That's a place where you really go, okay, wait a minute. Something's going on. And obviously you should be gauging that all the way through. But 30 days, so let's think about it like this. So I'm not talking about you were blue on Thursday. I'm talking about a real heaviness. And we're going to look at this because we've all got friends. We've all experienced this to a little degree. How do we prevent the stress in our life becoming depression or other ways we'll see in a minute of how it becomes depression? Now, where we're going to be is Lamentations chapter 3. Let me tell you about Lamentations chapter 3. This is written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. It's five laments, meaning crying out to God. Five laments to God. 586 BC is a date you need to know in your church history. The Babylonians come to Jerusalem and they take over Jerusalem. They're in charge of Jerusalem. They're in charge of the temple. The Babylonians have control over God's city. Now, if you know your Old Testament, that's a big problem. Jeremiah's been saying, look, if we don't obey God, some bad stuff is coming. And now the Babylonians have come. His worst nightmare has come true. And here he is now, and he is lamenting. He's depressed. We're going to read verse 1 through 20. I want you to just listen to it. Then we're going to focus on verses 20 through 27. Verses 1 through 20, just hear it. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven me away and forced me to walk in darkness instead of light. Yes, he repeatedly turned his hand against me all day long. He has worn away my flesh and my skin. He has shattered my bones. He has laid siege against me, encircling me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been dead for ages. He has walled me in so that I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I cry and plead for help, he rejects my prayers. He has walled in my ways with cut stones and made my paths crooked. Verse 10, he is a bear waiting in ambush, a lion in hiding. He forced me off my way and tore me to pieces. He left me desolate. He bent his bow. He set me as the target for his arrows. He's pierced my kidneys with his arrows. Verse 14, I am a laughingstock to all my people, mocked by their songs all day long. He has filled me with bitterness and sated me with wormwood. He has ground my teeth on gravel and made me cower in the dust. My soul has been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. I thought then my future is lost, as well as my hope from the Lord. Verse 19, remember my afflictions and my homelessness, the wormwood and the poison. I continually remember them and I have become depressed. Now, does that sound like depression or what? God's against me. I'm in a dark spot. Everybody else is against me. And here I am. And in verse 20, and I have remembered these things and I have become depressed. Now, all throughout the scriptures, we've got real people having real life. Psalm 6, Psalm 42, Psalm 43, all great psalms talking about depression. So let's talk about this. What is depression? There's three different kinds of depression. Let me write them down for you. There's three different kinds of depression. The first is functional, or it could be said situational depression. Functional depression. Functional depression is a depression that is associated with grief. You encounter a great loss, and it sends you into a depression. So a loved one dies, you lose a job, you go through a divorce, you lose status, you lose income, money, whatever it is, you go through a functional depression. Something sets you off in a functional depression. Now, when that happens, it's usually tied to grief. Grief is what it's tied to. You're grieving a loss and you're functionally depressed. The second kind of depression is chemical depression. Chemical depression. All of our bodies have different chemicals and neurons and neurotransmitters and, you know, all these things going on in us biologically. And some of that is our genetics, what we've inherited. Some of that is just the way our body fires. It's just who we are, that's what we are. And some of us have chemical makeups that the firing of all those things ends up becoming a depression. So it's a chemical depression. It's a physical thing. It's a biological thing. It's possibly a genetic thing. And so there's a chemical firing that brings this depression. Now, I have to say this as well. After you've been depressed for about 12 months, it can become chemical because now your body has reoriented itself to now the way it is firing, it's actually firing and acting differently than how you were on month one. So 12 months into it, now of course it's not that day it happens, but in that range, you can actually, your body begins to change. So it could be functional depression that then leads to your body is actually firing differently. And there's a chemical depression that happens. The third depression that can happen is reactive. Reactive depression. Reactive depression is what we're getting at in our series here. Stress begins to be fear. Fear begins to be depression. So there's a reactive depression. Stress in your life causes you to react in a way that you become depressed. Now, a great example of this would be soldiers when they come back from the battlefield. That they have encountered such stress on the battlefield, they get back, and when a firecracker goes off, fireworks happen, they jump because they go back to the battlefield mode. A loud noise takes place, they're stressed about it. They have this trouble of getting back because of the great stress leads them into depression. It leads them into a time of depression. This one is stress-induced. Now, stress, if you remember last week, stress is a physical and emotional reaction to a perceived threat. So I'm stressed because I perceive a threat. I have more tasks than I do time, so I'm threatened by that. I have more responsibility than I do resource, so I'm threatened by that. I have more bills than I have income. I'm threatened by that. My marriage is not going well. I'm threatened. My parenting is struggling. I'm threatened. So I'm stressed, and I have this perceived threat. And when stress is not handled well, stress becomes fear, and fear becomes depression. Often stress and fear stem from us not getting what we want. I want to give you two key words. You ready? Unmet expectations. Unmet expectations. I thought my job would be different. I thought my marriage would be different. I thought my kids would act more obediently. I thought that life would be easier. I thought that the world would be friendlier. I have unmet expectations. The key to happiness in life is loosely holding your expectations. I thought that when I bought a plane ticket and I arrived on time, that then the plane would arrive on time and everything would go well. That is not what happened. And so my unmet expectations brought a lot of stress. And when you have unmet expectations over a long period of time, it brings then stress that then can lead to depression. A little boy in our church, his parents bought him a slip and slide, as you do in the summer. And so he was all excited about the slip and slide, and they put it out in the backyard, and he started doing his slip and slide. And then he came up to his dad, and he said, "Dad, you know, the slip and slide in the yard doesn't look like it looks on the box." And his dad said, "Son, life doesn't look like it looks like on the box. Unmet expectations." And in today's version of American Christianity, if I can say it like that, we require a smile. If you're really a godly person, you got to smile. And you got to make sure everything's staying high and good. But I want you to know that there's a dark night of the soul. And if you experience depression, you should not be shamed or feel like you're wearing the scarlet letter in the church. Instead, the church, we need to reach out to you, because community is what helps you to get back on your feet. It's community. So we want to be in our church a relevant, biblical community. That's our vision, to be relevant, meaning we talk about real life issues. Biblical, we look into God's word and Lamentations. And community, that we want to give arms to outreach to people. We want Life Bible Study to be a place that you can share your hurts. We want our counseling center to be a place that you can share your unmet expectations. But what happens in our Christianity, we've got to keep the smile, we got to keep the facade. And so we come to church and we fake it. Watch this. False community is worse than no community. False community is worse than no community. So we must be authentic to say we need help with our reactive, chemical, or functional depression. We need community. Now, the enemy, the devil, wants to keep you out there isolated, making you think you're the only one that's there. God wants you to bring you into community so that you can have people around you to care for you and you can share with and they can love you. And that's what the church should be. But when we just wear a smile, we never get real and authentic. You know, there's people in the Bible that struggle with depression. Let me give you some examples. Elijah, Job, Jeremiah, Noah, David, Solomon, Paul, Naomi. Saul even is a bad story, bad side of it. Famous Christians have struggled with depression. Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, John Knox, who began the Presbyterian Church, John Bunyan, Lottie Moon, Rick Warren, Charles Stanley, John Piper, C.S. Lewis, and Tommy Nelson. Some of the great saints have gone through the dark night of the soul. And so we've got to be real and understand the reality of this thing. And to understand that we've got to be authentic about it. So what do we do? What do we do? The first thing is we have to renew our mind. Renewing our mind is crucial. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we would present our bodies as a living sacrifice, having our mind renewed by God. We've got to think differently. We begin to think in one path, in one rut. We've got to come out and say, "Lord, let me think differently." Now, by no means, if you're struggling with depression, do I think in a 35-minute message, I'm just going to solve all your problems. I'm just going to hope put you in the right direction, I hope, to be able to say, okay, think about these things. Renewing our mind is very important. This is what one man says about it. He says this. His name is Steve Pavlinia. He says, "Let me be very direct. It isn't your situation that causes you to feel depressed. What depresses you is the attention you give to that situation. Your life may indeed be filled with circumstances you don't want, but that isn't the real source of your depression. Negative circumstances can only induce depression. When you focus your intention on them, if you withhold your intention or the power that it has over you, your circumstances are powerless to affect you, regardless of how bad they seem." It is renewing our mind. When we got to Toronto, for that's where the TV shows were, we went to this park in this Toronto island, and we took a little ferry, and we went to this park. It's beautiful. It'd be like a Central Park in New York. And we began walking along this concrete, asphalt, gray path, and then I walked up, and I saw this sign. I took a picture of it to show you, to renew our mind. Please walk on the grass. Now, isn't that a different way of thinking? So I got off my concrete gray asphalt path and walked on the grass. It was awesome. Renewing our mind is to take us off this concrete path of the ruts that we're in and to get us walking on the grass again of God's creation. So renewing our mind, depression causes us to doubt the faithfulness of God. It causes us to question his character. Now watch, we're going to look in the scriptures, and I'm going to hit them quick for you, but I want you to watch them. Look in verse 20, and we're going to compare it with verse 21. Then I'm going to give you a point from 22, 23, 24, and then 25 through 27. So here we go. Look at verse 20 and compare it to verse 21. I've continually remembered them. What is that? All the bad stuff we read earlier. And have become depressed. Verse 21. Yet, something's about to change. Yet I call this to mind. And therefore I have hope. What's he going to call to mind? Do you see how he calls something different to mind? What is it? Watch how this whole chapter changes. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end, even though Jerusalem's been overtaken by the Babylonians. Verse 23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. I say the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to a person who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for deliverance from the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is still young. Do you hear the switch in verse 21 through 27 compared to what it was in 1 through 20? His mind changes. He has changes that happen in his life. Let's look at verse 22. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we will not perish. His mercies never end. Here's what happens. The Lord's love, God's love in verse 22. God's love brings new security. New security comes. I know, I ran out of space, sorry. It's good to get, it'll probably happen the whole time, so just hang in there. New security is what it brings. God's love brings new security. Remember where we started? That fear, stress brings fear. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? God loves me. God's taken care of me. I've got new security in my life. It's not based on my performance. It's based on his faithfulness. God's love has given me a new security. But it doesn't stop there. It keeps on going. We can see it in the New Testament. In the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says, there's no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So God's love drives out our fear. What are you afraid of? What's your anxiety that's leading to fear, that's leading to stress, that's leading to depression? God's love brings us new security. God's faithfulness, I'll start a little further over. God's faithfulness brings new hope. God's faithfulness brings new hope. Now it says there in the scriptures in verse 23, it says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning after morning, I see your faithfulness. This is where the great hymn comes from. Great is thy faithfulness. It says every morning in verse 23, every morning they are new. Great is your faithfulness. What happens there? What happens in that time, or in this place, is that God's faithfulness brings new hope. Your morning, what happens in the morning? There's sunshine. We should be outside, even when it's hot. Outside brings sunshine. That's good for us. Vitamin D. Morning dawns. There's new hope. And morning comes after sleep. Sleep and sunshine will help you and will help me. And so we walk these things out of God's faithfulness, that there's a new hope. God's faithful to me. It seems like everything's against me. Jerusalem has got the Babylonians in it. How could this be? But God's faithful. I have a new hope. God's provision is the next one I want to show you. And it says in verse 24, I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. So his faithfulness brings a new hope. God's provision brings new desires. New desires. Did you see where it said that God is my portion? Now we have new desires. New desires. When we're going through hard times, you know what my number one desire is? Get me out of it. That's my number one desire. I want to get on the plane and I want to go to the next destination. I have reservations there. But what I have to do is I have to backtrack and say, Lord, your glory has to be what I'm asking for. Your character, not my circumstance, has to be. And God, I want you to do your work, and I want your glory. Give me new desires, Lord. You are my portion. You are my provision. My expectations are not met, so I need new expectations and new desires. God gives us new desires. The Holy Spirit lives inside you if you're a Christian and you know Jesus is Savior, and he gives you a new nature and a new heart and new desires. That's what it means. That's the gospel, the good news. Jesus Christ lives inside of you. Not just you get saved and go to heaven. Yes, that's awesome. Jesus lives inside of you, and his new desires can come out in you. And God's timing means one word we don't like, and that is wait. Wait. Is God usually fast with you or slow with you? For me, he usually shows up a little bit late. I look back and it's perfect timing. Of course, he can't be late. But I have to wait on the Lord. Look at what it says in verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him and to the person who seeks him. Verse 26, it is good to wait quietly for the deliverance from the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is still young. God causes us to wait. God's love, God's faithfulness, God's provision, God's timing. Coming out of depression is more like coming back from a bone break than it is a sprain. It's going to take months, not days. It's running for a marathon, not a sprint. Ethel Renwick says this, sorrow is God's greatest opportunity to deal with us, because in those times we are so defenseless. We know that we simply can't continue on our own. So we said, Lord, we need your faithfulness. We need your love. We need your provision. And we have no other choice but to wait on you. Did you see how his lamenting changed when his mind was renewed onto the things of God? Dwell on those things. And let me give you four ending practical kind of thoughts that can help us from going into depression and can help us in getting out of depression. Martin Luther suffered from depression, and here's what he said about it. Avoid being alone for long periods of time. Seek out people or situations that bring you pleasure. Sing and make music. Deliberately dismiss heavy thoughts. Make a list of all the things for which you can give praise, despite all. Exercise patience with yourself. Sometimes we're harder on ourselves than anybody else is. Believe that depression can have a positive and fruitful side. A positive and fruitful side. Let me give you four things, and we're done. Number one, physically. God has given our bodies. He's wired us. We need sleep. You can't push it all the time. You can only work two parts of a three-part day. You can work morning and afternoon, then you need to take evenings off. There's three parts in a day, morning, afternoon, evening. You can only work two out of three long-term and make it. Work morning, work afternoon, rest in the evening. Or work afternoon, work in the evening, rest in the morning. But here's what we do. What do? We work all morning, we work all afternoon, we get home, we eat dinner, and we start checking email again. And we work all three parts of the day over and over and over, and we wear down, and we're headed towards stress. Obviously, we're already there. We know that. We're headed towards depression. Sleep, exercise, and diet. All of us got to get outside and go for a walk, go for a run, do something aerobic, lift some weights, get out there and exercise. None of us want to do it, and we're always glad we did. It helps us. Eating right, you can't go from sugar high to sugar high to sugar high to sugar high. Caffeine to caffeine to caffeine to caffeine. You got to put things in your body physically that are going to help. So you've got to have physical. Secondly, mentally. We've got to understand where we are mentally. We need rest mentally, and we need release. Have fun. You ever notice how seldom we laugh as adults? Life's not as funny anymore. But we need to laugh. We need to have fun. We need to enjoy. Especially as believers, we can get so heavy. Everything's got to be personal growth oriented. Have fun. Read a book for fun. Do something for fun. Rest and release. Rest your mind. I have to sometimes, literally, I'll just do my temple like an off switch because I'm just thinking all the time. Type A. What's your screensaver? When your mind is resting, what pops up? For men, it's usually work. For ladies, it's usually relationships, and they just hover as our screensavers. And those are probably two things we need to give to the Lord. I want my screensaver to be the Lord. I want it to be a verse of Scripture. I want it to be blessing and praise and not worry. But I've got to retune my mind so my screensaver doesn't come back to the office or doesn't go to a problem to solve. Mentally, we have to rewire ourselves. Emotionally, where are you on your emotions right now? Are you on E? Could we say something to you and you'd cry? Where are you emotionally? Emotionally, maybe you just need to talk with somebody. Our Juliana Poor Memorial Counseling Center is a great place to have a counselor to talk to, a friend to talk to. We all need friends. Facebook's not going to work for this. They did a study of people that were depressed and went to chat rooms, and people who were depressed and didn't go to chat rooms. The people that were in the chat rooms and on Facebook about it were more depressed. Why? Because false community is worse than no community. Now, it has its place, and I'm on it, and it's great, and I hope you follow me on Twitter, and all those things, okay? I got it. It's not where you go for your emotional tank to be filled up. Talk with somebody and show yourself grace. Now, let's stop there for just a second. These are very important, but we as Christians oftentimes think, yeah, those are the secular things. What about the sacred and the spiritual things? We're going to get there. Don't worry. God has wired you physically, mentally, and emotionally. You are a complex being, and He knows that. And so you've got to understand that. And so what we do a lot of times, we say, well, yeah, that's the worldly stuff. That's the Dr. Phil stuff. I need the Dr. Luke stuff. We're going to get to Dr. Luke. Don't worry. But these things are vastly important. Now, let me say this. It's true. Most of us would believe that we live in an over-medicated society. We're probably over-medicated. There's a drug for everything, right? And we're probably over-medicated. But I want you to hear me loud and clear. On this thing with depression, when those clowns, not just you got a bad day every once in a while, it gets dark. You should see a physician and you should talk to them about medicine. Not, you know, you get on it for the rest of your life type thing. That's you and a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm saying that medicine is useful for the clouds parting and then beginning to work on the real issue. Is the real issue your marriage? Is the real issue your parenting? Is the real issue your schedule? Is the real issue your stress? The clouds can part with the medicine so you can get to the real issue. And a lot of times we feel like that's very unspiritual. I want you to know, every morning I take a vitamin and I believe in Jesus. There's a silver lining in depression. We learn to value Christ and the promises of God when we are in times of deep need. There is hope. God is with you. He can lead you out of the darkness and into the light. Seek Him and trust Him. Close with this Mercy Me song called The Hurt and the Healer. You'll hear it on the radio if you listen to Christian radio. This is what it says. Why? The question that is never far away. The healing that does not come from the explained. Jesus, please don't let this go in vain. You are all I have, all that remains. So here I am, what's left of me, where glory meets my suffering. Here's the chorus. I'm alive, even though a part of me has died. You take my heart and you breathe it back to life. I've fallen into your arms, open wide. When the hurt and the healer collide. Take your hurts to the only one who can heal, Jesus. Doesn't mean everything's going to be great in 5 minutes. It does mean you can be on the path back to healing. We're going to pray together. Some of you, God's going to want you to come down front and pray. You might pray about something else. We won't assume everybody coming down is depressed. It's okay. Some of you, God wants you to join the church. You've shopped around long enough and it's time to plant your life. Some of you, flat out, you're never going to get out of it without a Savior. And His name's Jesus. And you need to come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior for Him to live inside you. This is the place. We cannot fake it. We must be authentic before God.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.